It's good to be with you this morning. You can blame George Johnson for me being here this morning, good friend of mine. I just want to, since you don't know me and you've never probably seen me before, I just give you a quick 3-minute bio or 4-minute bio. I am married to the love of my life. We just passed 48 years. And I just thought that happened to old people. So we have 3 wonderful children, all married. We have 7 grandchildren. I've been a practicing dentist for 38 years in our community and just had a wonderful, wonderful practice and experience. I also, if you notice my right eye is closed, I've had 2 brain surgeries for a tumor at Stanford University. And so that has been a challenge. Caused the end of my practice, but it didn't cause the end of my life, for which I'm very thankful. In fact, I'll just give you a quick story. After my first surgery, it was both eight-hour surgeries, and so about 3 days later. The Stanford psychologist came in and said, "I want to do a cognition test on you." And I said, "What?" I said, "I just got out of surgery 3 days ago." I said, "I'm going to blow that right out the door." So she said, "No, I'm going to go ahead and do it." And I said, "Fine, let's go ahead and do it." At the end of it, she said, "Your cognition's amazing. It's incredible." And I smiled back at her and I said, "Ma'am," I said, "you're seeing the grace of God." And she said, "Well, I don't know too much about that, but it must be awful powerful." And I smiled back and I said, "Yes, it is." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is always a privilege to fellowship with fellow believers in Jesus Christ. And so this morning, we all know that we need the Spirit of God in everything we do, what we say. And so, Lord, as I bring forth the Word of God, I truly acknowledge before you, as I have many times, that of myself I'm not able to do it, but you are. So we ask that your will be done and that your precious Son Jesus is uplifted in ways that need to be this morning. And we ask this in his precious name. And I want to thank you in advance for the gift. Amen. The text this morning, I'm just going to take a small portion, Matthew 1:23, and it says this, "And behold, a virgin shall be born, shall be with his child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is interpreted "God with us." I would like to suggest this morning that there's much more to that declaration of truth in God being with us. Now, we know God is for us, for sure, but do we understand the fullness of what was mentioned here in this text? And I would like to suggest to you that this is one of the key points of the gospel that we see in Christ laying in this manger. It is a declaration, really, of the future of Christ in his life, where we will see for the very first time divinity and humanity combined. Okay? And it is a declaration of the mystery of the gospel. You know, I asked many people, and I would have answered the same way up until just a few years ago. I ask people all the time, "What is the mystery of the gospel?" Do you know most people do not know that, even amongst our own people? And I wouldn't either. I didn't either. If you'd asked me what the mystery of the gospel was, I would have said, well, you know, it's the love of God, it's the mercy of God, it's the salvation of God. But I would not have come up with the answer. In fact, let's go there real quick. Colossians 1:27 to make sure we have it straightened away here. Colossians 1:27. And it says this. Let's get there real quick here. Little book of Colossians here. here we are. Okay. It says, let's start with 26. It says, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you. Okay? Now, the greatest demonstration of this, this mix of humanity, of humanity combined coming into, divinity coming into humanity, is actually Jesus Christ himself. Amen. Okay? I grew up a Seventh-day Adventist, okay? I had 21 years of Adventist education, and I didn't know that. Okay? And so what we see in Jesus is this, is we see him coming as a man just like you and I, being totally and completely man and still retaining his divinity completely. Okay? But what he did with his divinity was what? He took the prerogatives of divinity and put them aside, correct? So he is facing everything that you and I face as human beings on this planet. Is that correct? Okay. And he had this, he did not have any advantages because he put everything aside. So that meant that he was depending upon who? His Father in heaven. Okay? In fact, let's just go to a couple texts here. In fact, I wanted to say just one thing before we go there. God always starts with small things, right? He always does. And so the reason why I'm saying that, he says, who should despise the day of small things, right? Well, you look at this baby in the manger, is that a small thing? Very small thing. And what about you and I? Are we small things? Well, yeah, we are. I mean, when you're flying 30,000 feet and you look down, can you see us? No, we're small. And so that's good news because God considers us as his own, okay? And what he wants to do is more, what I want to say, is greater than what we think, all right? So let's go here. My little notes out here. Now, the obvious foundational truth of Christ coming is Calvary. Okay? Everything centers off Calvary. And so often, that's where we tend to stop. Is, you know, that Jesus died to forgive us of our sins and to save us. Okay? And that is exactly true. But there's so much more to that. And I would like to suggest that it has to do with Christ living and abiding and living out his life through us. Okay? So, let's go here. Let's go to, I'll catch up with my notes here. Let's go to John 14. Now, John 14, Jesus is talking here. He's just told the disciples he's leaving, okay, after 3.5 years. And they're brokenhearted about it, okay? And then they ask him, a question, and it's in John 14, 22 and 23, if you want to turn there. And they ask him this incredible question. They said, how are you going to manifest yourself to us when you leave? His answer is amazing. Listen and check this out. In fact, this was asked by Judas. There were two disciples named Judas. There was Iscariot, but there was another Judas. This is the other Judas, okay? Judas said unto them, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself, thyself unto us and not unto the world? 23, Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our what? Make our home in them. Not a hotel, home. Okay? Well, that's striking because Jesus says, not only do I want to come and make my home in them, in you and I, if we are surrendered to Christ, but he says, my Father's coming too. Okay? Well, let's go over to Ephesians 3 and let's check it out. Let's go to Ephesians 3:14. And see what Paul, if he segues into that, okay? Let's go to 3:14, Ephesians. It says, for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, excuse me, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now listen to this. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth all knowledge, that you might be filled with what? All the fullness of God. This is exactly what Jesus said. Because Jesus, just prior to in John 14, he had just told the disciples, listen, the Spirit of God has been with you, but there's coming a time when he shall be in you. All right? And that was post-cross. So, what happened here and what's happening, what's available to you and I is this fullness of the Godhead. Well, what happens when that happens? Let's ask the question first, how does that happen? Because if we don't know how to get there, then all we're talking about is something that maybe somebody else has, but it's not available to you and I. But it is available to you and I. And on what basis is it available to you and I? And I will tell you, it is surrender. Okay? It was a cold, stormy night in the mountains. It was your quintessential time. It was rain, thunder, lightning, wind. And I was home alone. My wife was in town. Our children had grown up. And I was sitting on our bed, and I was reviewing my life. Our children weren't doing well. They were all grown, but out and about. I reviewed my life as a husband. No, I didn't cheat on my wife, but I wasn't the man that I knew that I could be. And I was brokenhearted. I began to weep a lot. And I knelt beside the bed, and I cried out to Lord. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I've been reading my Bible, and I've been studying and praying, but something's missing. And I don't know what it is. I'm not a mystical man, okay, at all. And as I knelt beside the bed through my tears, I looked over in the lampstand, and there was a book opened. And the very first sentence of that book said this. You cannot give your heart to God. You know what I did? I laughed. Because I had never been told that in my life. I had always been told, give your heart to God. Give your heart to God. And this sentence says, you can't give your heart to God. And I said out loud, as I was praying there, I said, I don't believe that. And you know what came back to me, not in a verbal form, but you know what I mean, that still small voice, he said, why don't you try it? I said out loud back to him, I said, I will. And so for the very first time in my life, I said, Lord, would you please take my heart and my will? And he did. And it was a watershed event of my life. I waited about 5 years before I had the courage to ask my wife one evening what contributed to this amazing change in our marriage. And so I said, sweetheart, I said, this has been an amazing run. I said, what do you attribute this to? And she swung right around with a huge smile, and she said, surrender. She said, when you said you surrendered, and of course I told her about this situation, she said, oh, I just thought it was going to be one more of those religious things you just, you know, you did, and there would be no change. And she had every right to believe that, because that was my experience. But she said, what happened is I began to see Jesus in you. And then I said, I'm going to surrender. And she did. And so this is what contributed to this incredible change in our lives. Amen. And so I was picking up goods, Dale, you know, things almost out of date and so forth for our food ministry for our church in our local market. And the manager, Victor, he was in his mid-30s and great guy, sharp, you know, doing a great job, making great income and so on and so forth. And Victor and I became good friends, and he would always come out every morning, every Sabbath morning when I came to pick this up, and we would talk. And he would ask me what's going on in my life, and I would tell him, you know, that you know, some of the things that God is doing and so forth. And so finally, he asked me, he said, how does this all happen in your life? And I said, surrender. I said, it takes 5 seconds or less. And so I told him. And so fast forward now, next week, 1 week later. So I came to pick up the stuff, and Victor, this time he's running out to me. He says, Steve, he says, I want to tell you something, man. And I said, well, I'm all ears. Listen, I'm listening. He said, remember you talked to me last week about surrender? I said, yeah. He said, let me tell you what happened. He said, while I was working that day, I couldn't get over it. He said, I realized that I had and this is his words, I had a hole in my heart. He said, I didn't realize I did. He says, I got a beautiful family. I've got a beautiful home. I've got a great income. But he said, I realized I had a hole in my heart. He said, now this is what you're not going to believe. He says, so after I finish my work and I'm driving down, we live up in the foothills, I'm driving down to Clovis. He said, I remember what you said about surrender. And I said, Lord, would you please take my heart and my will? And he said, this is the part you're not going to believe. He said, the hole was filled. Amen. Just like that. I said, really? He said, yeah, really. You see? And so this is available. The reason why I'm telling you these stories is because if this is not happening in your life, and you may be feeling like, you know, you're working, I mean, you're studying and you're praying, and things are not quite where you think they ought to be in your life, it may be that you've missed the password. surrender. Okay? Now, one of the things that I have found out since that, I have found out that Jesus Christ is the greatest adventurer in the universe. I never knew that about him. I didn't. And what I mean by that is, once you surrender, and your will and your heart is in his hands, then he takes up residence in you, and then he's leading you now, and you're following him, and now you're beginning to take part in the adventure that he has for your life. And it's incredible. One of the things about adventure is, you know, if you got a great guide, you really don't know what's around the next corner, right? And that's what's kind of exciting about the adventure. The guide knows, but you don't. And he's not going to tell you until you get there or experience it. Okay? Well, I'll give you experience. I'll give you an example. How many of you have been watching news relative to Ukraine? Anybody? I hope you do, because there's great needs there, and we have the opportunity to make a difference. Well, anyhow, my youngest son, our youngest son, my wife is remind me, our youngest son called me one day, and he said, "Dad, we got to go do something about that." I said, "Great, Ryan, let's do it." He said, let's go do emergency dentistry for the Ukrainian refugees. And so I've only got one eye. And so I said, "Yes, let's do it." Well, I didn't know whether I could do dentistry with one eye. And so we got all our stuff together, and we had to take everything. We took all our supplies, all our equipment, everything we had to take, all right? In fact, I showed somebody yesterday, I had, you know, those Costco tote things, the black and yellow ones? We had 11 of those with us, okay? So we got over there, and we got everything set up, and we worked basically on women and children because the men are, you know, in the army and fighting. When I first started, I said, "Man, Lord, this has got to be the grace of God." And I asked for grace, and you know what? I received it. I did surgical extractions. I did cosmetic dentistry. I did all kinds of stuff. And our son said, "Dad," he said, "this is incredible." Well, of course it is, because the grace of God is incredible. He takes us beyond where we can be on our own. Okay? And so we were able to, just minister to these precious people. And it's an adventure. It was fantastic. Was it easy sometimes? No. But it was fantastic. Well, let me tell you another one. Yesterday, speaking of dentistry, I met with the dental rep. We're setting up a Life Hope in Clovis Church as an ongoing thing, okay? And we're starting with dentistry. So Samantha is a Shine rep there in Clovis, and so I met with her yesterday to get some things and talk with her about things that I needed. In the conversation, she brought up the fact that she's a mother and a wife, and she brought up the fact, she said, "Steve," she said, "the world is getting so tough, and it's just coming and just impacting my family, my children, and everything else." And so, perfect opportunity. I said, "Sam," I said, "do you know how to surrender? Have you asked God to take your heart?" She says, "No, I didn't really know anything about that." And so I told her about it, and you know what she said? "I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it." I said, "Sam, it's 5 seconds or less." And she said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, really." And I told her what would happen. And then she said, "Well, I'm going to teach my children that." I said, "Fantastic." See, these are the kind of adventures that we're on with Christ. And if we don't fall in, if we don't surrender, then it can't happen. Okay, I was going to read just a couple little short quotes here. maybe I have it, maybe I don't. Yes, I do. Is this. And it's relative, of course, you know, somebody would say to me, well, does that mean you live a perfect life now? No. No. But here's the thing, is that when I make a mistake and I sin, immediately conviction comes. Amen. And immediately, the Spirit of God is there to move me right back to Christ. Okay? And whereas before, I would justify myself. Okay? In fact, one day I was, just prior to all this, one day I was shaving, I was looking in the mirror, and the question came, who's caused you the most trouble in your life? And I'm looking in the mirror like this, and I'm squinting, and I said, that guy. It's not my wife, it's not my children, it's not my patients, it's not my employees, it's me. And if you're honest, you will say the same thing. Okay? Well, that puts you between a rock and a hard place, and the hard place is a hard place, but the rock is Jesus Christ. Okay? Because everywhere you go, there you are. Okay? That's what I said to myself. I said, man, I need a Savior. Okay? And so this is what led me to surrender. Now, and I was saying to you that no, this doesn't mean you're living perfect life. Okay, but what it does mean is that you have progress. And you that are married, whether you're a husband or you're a wife, if your wife is making progress, you're okay. And if you're a husband and your wife's looking at you and you're making progress, it's okay. You can live with that, right? And so, yes, it's transformational progress. And this is what makes the Christian life so exciting. And this excitement boils over into the people who are around you. And God takes advantage of that. You follow what I'm saying?
Right.
Okay? So I've got Jewish dental friends, okay, that are straight on Jewish people. And we're fellowshipping all the time about Jesus Christ. Amen. How does that happen? Well, it's part of the adventure. Okay? So It's not perfect life, but it's progressive, all right? Now check this out. We see by experience, this is from manuscript 1890, we see by experience that our own human strength, resolutions, and purposes are of no avail. Is that true? Oh, come on, how many times have you on January you said, man, my New Year's resolution is... I stopped doing that, man. My resolution was to surrender. And then Jesus took over. Okay, it says, must we then give up our determined efforts? No. Although our experience testifies that we cannot possibly do this work ourselves, help has been laid upon one who is mighty to do it for us. Don't miss that. Okay? You have a Savior and I have a Savior that will do the doing for us in the areas of spiritual strength and success and victory.
Amen.
Okay? It says, but the only way we can secure the help of God is to put ourselves wholly in His hands. Surrender. Okay? How many of you that are married were okay when you proposed? Men, you proposed to your wife, and she said, yeah, I'm okay with it, but I'm going to hold out 10% for some other guy. I mean, really, and vice versa, okay? No, you're either all in or you're all out, okay? And same way with Jesus Christ, okay? Now, if we're all out and we're partially in, He's still working for us. Don't think He's not. But we don't have the full benefit of what He wants us to have. Because the only thing He's asking for you and me are the things that are killing us.
Right.
Is He?
Right.
That's all He's asking for. And we're deceived at times to think that the things he's asking for are really the good things we want to keep. That's deception. Okay? So listen to the rest of this. It says, but I'll read this again. But the only way we can secure the help of God is to put ourselves wholly in his hands and trust him to work for us. As we lay hold of him by faith, he does the work. Oh, wait a minute. I thought it was I work and he works and he helps me work. That's not what it says. Because if Christ is abiding in you, he is the cause of his own effect and the dynamic of his own demands. Amen. Amen. Let me say it again. Jesus Christ is the cause of his own effect. Forgot the last of it. The cause of his own effect and the... I forget. Thank you. The dynamic of his own demands. Well, then what does that mean? That means instead of me trying to live the Christian life, Christ is the Christian life. He says he is the way, the truth, and the life. That's not extraneous to you if he's abiding in you, is it? No. And how long did I try to live the Christian life? And it was just no bueno. Okay? But something happened. And the simplicity, by the way, let's check this out since we're talking about this. 2 Corinthians 11:3. Because you got to make sure I'm not spinning it. Okay? 2 Corinthians 11:3. Check this out. Now, somebody told me this, and it's been one of my go-to verses in my life. It says this. I'm in 1 Corinthians. Let me get over to 2 Corinthians. Hold on just a second. I could quote it for you, but I'll just read it. But I fear. Did Paul fear many things? No, man. The guy was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was stoned. All this stuff. But he says, I fear about this one thing. Listen. He says, but I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from what? The simplicity that is in Christ. What's Paul saying? He's saying, listen, Christ is enough. The simplicity that is in Christ. Okay? And sometimes as Adventists, we miss this. We get working on this, and we get working on that, and we get working on this, and we forget the simplicity that is in Christ. He is our righteousness, is he not? He is our sanctification, is he not? 1 Corinthians 1:30, and he's our wisdom. Well, that sounds like a total package to me. Isn't it? Okay? So the bottom line here is, in order to get the wrong man or the wrong woman out, you got to get the right man in. Amen. Right? And all of a sudden, the Christian life starts to be doable. And this is what secures me in Christ. I've never had an experience like I have today because of surrender. Okay? And that's what I'm here to bring to you this morning. The believer can only trust. As God works, we work, trusting in him. And doing his will. Is there any other way? Well, last thing I'll share. So how did I get this idea that we cannot give our heart to Christ? It was in that little book, and here it is. Many of you know this. No outward observance can take the place of simple faith an entire renunciation of self. But no man can empty himself of self. Right. True?
Right. Right.
That'll keep you awake at night.
Yeah, that
will. We can only consent for Christ to accomplish the work. Then the language of the soul will be, Lord, take my heart, for I cannot give it. It is thy property. Keep it pure, for I cannot keep it pure for you. Have you stayed awake at night trying to keep your heart pure? There's no other way. Save me in spite of myself, my weak, unchristlike self. Who is doing all the doing here? It's Christ. Okay? Mold me, fashion me, raise me into a pure and holy atmosphere. I pray for this every morning. Okay? Where the rich current of thy love can flow through me. You have trouble with love for certain people and certain situations? There's one place to get it, Jesus. Okay? But it comes through surrender. See? It says, it is not only at the beginning of the Christian life that this renunciation of self is to be made. At every advance step toward heavenward, it is to be renewed. I'd like to say it's every morning.
Amen.
Okay? If it's 5 seconds or less, that means that because when I'm horizontal and I come to consciousness, that's when it happens. You know why? Because I'm not safe vertical. Without Jesus. Okay? So why not get it right out of the gate and say, Lord, and of course, then somebody, young guy, asked me at one of my Bible groups, he said, well, what keeps this from being a mantra that you just say every morning? I said, Tim, that's a great question. I got the answer. He said, what is it? Here it is. I said, your experience with Jesus Christ will be so amazing the day before, you can't wait to ask him in the morning.
Amen.
Again. And that's true. That's true. So, in closing, are you surrendered? Do you believe this?
Yes.
I hope so. In fact, before I close, I don't believe I'm personal. Nothing wrong with altar calls. I just believe it's such a personal thing that you settle it right where you are between you and Jesus.
Amen.
Okay? And I would like to just give you I'll give you more than 5 seconds, a minute during our prayer. If you haven't surrendered, to just whisper out, not even in your mind, because Jesus knows, Lord, would you please take my heart and my will right now? And I had a neighbor, he was a wild man, wealthy guy, and I would walk back and forth. I walk on a road behind our home, and he would intercept me and argue with me about Christ. In fact, his name is Crazy Dennis. That's what I named him. So, Crazy Dennis, one July, hot July afternoon, I got a call from Crazy Dennis. And he says, Steve, he said, I don't know. In fact, he was weeping. He said, I'm at the end of my rope, man, and I don't know what to do, but I think what you know about the Bible has something to do with my way out.
Amen.
He said, would you come over here? Adventure. I said, yeah, I'll be there. And I came right over, and this time it wasn't resistance. It was an open heart, and we knelt down, and he surrendered. And he said this to me later on. He says, you just tell the people about surrender. If they don't think Christ has given them infinitely more than what they think they should have, he will refund their misery in full. I'm serious. That's what he told me. And so I tell people that all the time. I said, man, he'll refund your misery in full if you don't think. But listen, take the risk. Take the risk. And you'll find a life that you have not yet experienced, even though you may have been a Christian for a long time. Okay? And by the way, this is called revival. All right? So let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your goodness overwhelms us. The plan that you and Jesus set up before the foundation of the world, wherein men and women and children, through surrender to you, could be inhabited by you in Christ by the Spirit of God. Incredible. Thank you. And it's been so hidden in so many ways. But it's not hidden this morning. So I pray for those who are listening, if they haven't surrendered, that they might take the opportunity to take the risk and ask you to take their hearts and their wills right now. Thank you, Father. Now, for those who have, and those who already have, you've promised to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we've asked or even think. And we claim this in Jesus' name and thank you. Amen.